From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The writer Salman Rushdie once called Bombay the epio, mythio, tragico, comico, super sexy, high masala epicenter of Hindi cinema. Today, we call Bombay the home of Bollywood, the slang term for the enormous film industry of India. It churns out 800 films a year to 13,000 cinemas and a daily viewership of 100 million. That's almost twice as many films a year as America's tinseltown, Hollywood. To those used to seeing Hollywood product on the silver screen, a Bollywood film is hard to describe. Bollywood movies average 4 hours and ooze with palatial opulence, titillation, wild song and dance, and very happy endings. Take Dr. Zhivago and The Sound of Music, put it in a blender, and it's been said you have Bollywood, sort of. But this Asian cinema giant has only recently begun to infiltrate the Western world. The Oscar-nominated Moulin Rouge is deliberately peppered with Bollywood-style scenes. Bollywood's newest smash, Lagaan, is up for Best Foreign Film at the Oscars. Andrew Lloyd Webber is heading down Bollywood Boulevard in his new musical, Bombay Dreams. Even the Guinness Book of World Records and Oxford English Dictionary have added Bollywood to their pages. Bollywood is becoming as hot as a Bangalore curry, and tonight we're taking a front-row seat at its heart. Have you caught the Bollywood wave, or do you find it too spicy, too outrageous for Western taste raised on Star Wars, Harry Potter, and Titanic? You can join our conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me in the studio is Nupur Kohli. She's the 17-year host of Junkar, an all-Bollywood radio show, and former host of the television show Tarang, Bollywood's Entertainment Tonight. Welcome, big welcome, Nupur Kohli.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be on point with you.
It's great to have you. We're listening to a hit song, Mitva, from the Oscar-nominated film Lagaan, and we're going to talk about that film in particular. But before we do, Nupur Kohli, give us the essential format of a big Bollywood film.
Well, Bollywood films, as you mentioned, are a mixture. Like in Hollywood, you have drama, you have comedy, you have action. Take all of that, put it together, and you have what's known as a masala type of film, which basically incorporates a very standardized formulas.
And what's the formula? What makes masala? I think of a good thing to eat, but you're talking about a movie here.
Right. Well, there are a couple of different ones, and they basically use permutations and combinations on these very basic elements. You have the love triangle, which is
okay. We know that.
Right. The love triangle is a definite must. Then you have two siblings that are separated at birth. You have the rich man falling in love with a poor woman or vice versa. And that social...
Especially stirring in India where the class and caste lines are
exactly
so strong.
Exactly. And that disparity. The parental objections.
Mm-hmm.
You have the... basically the villain coming after, an entry of the villain, and then a fight sequence a la
a la we don't know what a la Michael Jackson meets I don't know what.
Basically, it's crazy.
All of this wrapped in these super lavish settings, miles away from the streets of Calcutta or Bombay.
Absolutely. Larger than life. That's basically the term. Hindi films are known for escapism, and they are escapism at their best because, the people in India have to deal with such rigors for their daily lives that they want 3.5 hours where they go to the cinema and just forget.
I've seen that. As a teenager, I spent a year in India. And at the end of Main Road was the Jagadamba Cinema.
Uh-huh.
And the crowds that would push in there to see those movies and sit in absolute rapt attention while the swirling music and the beautiful saris and all the gold and glitter, they were there to be taken far away. It all seemed to me, for all the Bollywood, Hollywood technology, to also be very related to the extremely traditional stories and storytelling of India, is it not?
It, absolutely, it is. I mean, they thrive on the traditions, and that's one way to actually kind of inculcate their traditions in the younger generation, because they're so, recently especially, they're so exposed to the Western culture. Mm-hmm. So you have like a Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham, which we will
the big smash
talk
hit.
About.
I've just seen some of that. What a name, Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham. Ah, Bollywood.
And the titles keep getting longer and longer, and they keep coming up with these coined abbreviations, like Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham is known as K3G.
K3G. What does Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham mean? We'll come back to it, but the film translates
into sometimes happiness, sometimes sorrow.
Okay, and that one?
Is a typical Hindi film. Mm-hmm. Larger than life, glamorous, glitzy, and basically it deals with family values.
Everything larger than life. I mean, mm-hmm. the five-story tall billboards, massive paintings of the actors. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the actors and actresses themselves who, it's always seemed to me, were kind of demigods in India.
They are deified. There are actually temples built for actresses in India. Over here, you know, you'll see Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks roaming around the streets, leading everyday normal lives. They take their profession, they take acting as a career, mm-hmm. as their profession. Mm-hmm. In India, it's the way of life for an actor.
It always seemed to me that it merged with India's sacred tradition in a way. I mean, India, of course, you see images of deities, of gods everywhere, mm-hmm. and somehow, you know, these actors and actresses take on such stature, it travels with them from film to film, and it's as though, you know, you're watching A Beautiful Mind and all of a sudden Zeus and Athena and Apollo jump into the middle of it in the Western tradition. It's like Vishnu and Shiva suddenly showing up in the film in the role of these actors. They seem almost godlike.
Absolutely. It is. And it all goes back to the escapism. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, these people are coming to the theater to escape for 3 hours. And what they're seeing on screen is absolutely opposite from their everyday life.
You say it's a way of reasserting and reviving all the time traditional stories, and yet these movies are not at all afraid of Western accoutrement. I mean, people wear the most stylish sunglasses, the latest haircut. In Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham, you've got Indian women dressed like Britney Spears, dancing in 80s disco, mixing, it seems to me, all the world's kind of pop, flash images and scenes together in one huge melange.
Well, that's the Western influence. I mean, basically, it's interesting because you're seeing this inspiration, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later, Tom, but there has been a mutual influence from Hollywood to Bollywood. Hollywood has inspired Bollywood mm-hmm. tremendously, mm-hmm. and now it's Bollywood's turn to inspire Hollywood with Moulin Rouge and the like.
You mentioned Love Triangle, and mm-hmm. I think that's going on in the movie we were talking about, Lagan.
Right.
Maybe some English lyrics there as well. Let's listen to Ore Chori, if I've got the
Ore Chori, right.
Listen for a minute here.
My heart, it speaks the thousand words. I feel eternal bliss. The roses spout their scarlet mouths like offering a kiss. No drop of rain, no glowing flame has ever been so
Chori from the Best Foreign Film nomination, Lagan. Nupur Kohli, what is going on there? That sounds like a Victorian London lass singing a little ditty, yet it's in the middle of a Bollywood song. What's the story that allows that to fit in, and what's the love triangle in this movie?
Okay, well, this film was actually a very interesting experiment by Aamir Khan, who's the producer and the actor. Mm-hmm. He took the backdrop of the British rule of India. Lagan means tax, so there was a tax imposed by the Brits mm-hmm. on the farmers and the mm-hmm. villagers in India. Mm-hmm. Basically, this whole film is based on a cricket match. One cricket match.
Of course.
That they bet all the tax that is due to the Brits, they bet on one cricket match. Now, the villagers, cricket is their game, the British game.
Yeah.
And the villagers don't have a clue.
But also an Indian game in many places, not in this village?
Yes, not in this village. This is before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Amir, who's the main lead, he kind of goes out on a limb without the permission of the villagers and bets the fact that if they can learn this game and win, then they will forgo all the taxes that are owed to the Brits. And he actually does it. And
you say it was a risk. What was the risk in this story?
If he didn't, then he would have to give triple the tax.
I see, right. And, okay. And as a film, it was also a risk, I guess. There was concern this wouldn't be a commercial success in India. Why not?
Because of it was a very different backdrop. I mean,
more
never
political
has,
or?
No, the fact that, I mean, you have that political angle, but the whole game of cricket is being featured in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about the international? Like here in America, people don't know the game of cricket.
Mm-hmm.
So how can a film like this succeed? Where the basic climax of the film is based on the knowledge of cricket.
Well, now, right there you speak to something about Bollywood's market. Mm-hmm. I would have thought that the Bollywood market in some degree follows the British Empire's thin red line, that it's popular in South Asia, that it, perhaps in Africa, certainly among in the Indian population, and more than that increasingly in the U.K., in countries where cricket is all well known.
Absolutely, but lately, Tom, Indian cinema has really stormed America. We're being featured in Billboard. We're being featured in top 10 lists in UK, not only in UK.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in India, they have their own ranking, but in America. Films like Dal, films like Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham, films like Lagan are being, you know, they're being featured in mainstream lists. We're making the list.
It's incredible. We're talking tonight about Bollywood. In America, the kind of Latino culture of J-Lo and Antonio Banderas has really begun to come in.
Sure.
We've seen how in the U.K. and maybe now, even in the United States, Bollywood is also making inroads.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us in Lagan. I think one of the key figures is an outcast, an untouchable, low-class,
yes,
low-caste Indian.
Yes.
Is that part of the love story here? How often
no.
does caste come in? Or how does that figure into the film?
Caste does come in various films. There have been films based on the caste system. But in this particular one, it's just that they're showing the diversity of the villagers and the fact that the unity is the big thing. They all bonded together to learn the game.
Across
and they
caste
succeeded.
Lines.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the love triangle that you had asked about before was that Amir is in love with a village girl, but the Brit's sister is the one that teaches the game to the villagers.
And she's also
and
in love with Amir?
And she falls in love with Amir.
Ooh.
So that's the English
much
that you heard in
resolved
that song.
Here. I see. So yeah, she is exactly. a London lass
mm-hmm.
who's singing even
exactly.
in Lagan.
Exactly.
Wow, this juxtaposition of cultures, in this case, it's British colonial with village Indian in Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham. The imagery and the settings, which go from so very Western right into Hindu temple situations almost, in the blink of an eye, it's, mm-hmm. as a Western viewer, it's a little bit overwhelming, these films, I have to say. That one just, it was just a Niagara Falls of glitter, of music, of dance. They go from, hyper conversation to hyper song instantly and all the time.
Exactly. And the colors, the vibrant colors, the richness of the culture is portrayed through songs. Songs actually propel the story in films.
In the style of old
films.
American musicals? Is this like Oklahoma or Annie Get Your Gun?
Sound of Music? Exactly. It is.
So the narrative
Moulin
is interwoven.
Rouge. Exactly. And that's how they did it. I mean, Moulin Rouge was inspired by Bollywood. They took songs to further the storyline, and that's basically what Bollywood's all about. Hindi films are all about.
Wow. I haven't seen that segment of Moulin Rouge, but we'll hear some of it later where
okay.
they deliberately are taking knowingly a kind of inspiration from Bollywood, homage
mm-hmm.
to Bollywood.
Sure.
Have you seen Bollywood films? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for the sound of India that is sweeping huge swaths of the world, bigger, twice as many films a year as Hollywood puts out? Are you ready for Bollywood? You can join our conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Enjoy the music. We'll be right back.
Yeah. This one's for you, Raoul.
Thanks. And for you, my lovely. One, two, three, four.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking Bollywood tonight. This is Shava Shava from the smash hit Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gum.
तेरा सोना सोनी तेरी पायल रूप तेरा सोना सोना सोनी तेरी पायल छन छना छन ऐसे छन के कर दे सबको घायल कह रहा धोखा का जल इश्क में जीना मरना
Swirling music, swirling saris, swirling drums. This is Bollywood, and it is sweeping the world. We're going towards some kind of synthesis in world movies, maybe, but are you ready for this? Are you ready for Bollywood? Have you visited Planet Bollywood? What did you think? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're joined by Nupur Kohli. She knows Bollywood inside and out. Nupur Kohli, tell us about this movie with the amazing name Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gum. It's a great big hit in India and all over the Bollywood realm, which is a lot of the world now. What's it about? Why is it such a hit?
Before I answer that question, Tom, sure. Let me just ask the listeners out there, if you're tapping, if you're swaying to the beat, then you're ready for Bollywood.
Okay. If it's in your bones, you're hearing the masala, as
there
you say.
There you go. Now, Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gum was a typical larger-than-life Hindi film. The houses were actually hotels that were portrayed as mansions.
Yeah, look like palaces, every film I see.
Exactly. This is a norm for Hindi films. And it was about a big family, a big industrialist, who has an adopted son, a natural son.
Right.
And the adopted son chooses to marry for love a very poor girl. Mm-hmm. And he's ostracized.
Mm-hmm.
And the natural son actually, and they move to London. They're basically, disowned by the family. The natural son brings everyone together. That's the typical, it's kind of like a family.
So the natural son pulls it all back, and of course there has to be the family. Family's a
family
huge theme
huge.
In these films.
And the tagline for this movie was, it's all about loving your parents. And it shows the importance of family values. It shows the importance of, parents and how basically, whatever they do for your best, for your best interest.
It's all about loving your parents. Can you imagine that tagline on a Hollywood film?
I know. It's so, it's so foreign for
But that sells in India.
But absolutely. Emotion sells in India. Now, what's interesting about this film is that it is the largest, it's the biggest budgeted film ever made in Bollywood.
And that budget is, or
together,
was?
It was close to $10 million, which is huge.
A pittance in the United States.
Exactly, but it's huge for India.
I guess a dollar goes a long way.
Absolutely.
It must, because this film seemed to have a cast of 20,000 people.
Right. Well, not only that, but the differentiating factor in this film was that it brought together three of the biggest superstars in India.
Those are?
Amitabh Bachchan, who, let me take a second to explain the magnitude of this living legend. Mm. He has been featured in Madame Tussauds Wax Museum.
Mm-hmm.
He was voted the Man of the Millennium by BBC, beating out international stars.
Mm-hmm.
He has been featured on Entertainment Tonight 2020. He is currently hosting the Indian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He's gone into politics, come back to the film industry. I mean, he is a living legend and an idol.
What strikes me about legends like him is just the visceral response of the fans. And they practically faint in his presence. It's a response that Americans haven't exactly had to their movie stars since the Beatles or something.
I don't think they've ever seen what our superstars command. I mean, Amitabh Bachchan, to give you an example, was involved in a near-fatal accident in the 80s, and that was at the height of his career. The whole country stopped. That's when he was featured on Entertainment Tonight. He was basically the front page of every newspaper featured his progress. in the hospital.
He used to
come out
the
and
nation
basically
comes to a stop, to a halt, practically.
Seriously, it was. It was just, I mean, basically, our God had basically, you know, had come close to being taken from us. That's basically how people saw it.
So he's that big, and the two others you said in this film?
Okay, the other one is Shah Rukh Khan, who's been featured in the Guinness World Book of Records as the highest paid Indian actor.
But what's the character of this actor, actress?
What's
the kind of persona that the public has, the image of this?
He was this reigning superstar. Amitabh Bachchan was the reigning superstar in the 70s and 80s. Shah Rukh took over his mantle and was compared to him.
Is this the young lead?
No, this is the middle one, the adopted son, Shah Rukh.
I'm trying to keep him straight.
You saw the film?
Yes, I did.
So he was the adopted. Good for you. He was the adopted son, and he basically took over Amitabh's mantle somewhat for the late 80s and 90s.
Okay.
And currently, the younger son is Hrithik Roshan. Now, has been featured. He was just in the current issue of GQ. He's been featured in GQ.
But you know, these references to Western appearances just don't capture what's going on the other side of the world, because I know how gigantic they are. Talk to me about him. This is the young lead. It starts off with a super dramatic scene of a cricket match,
right,
with zillions of people in the stands and high drama, swooshing cuts. I look at this guy, and one thing I was struck by is his incredibly kind of international features. Mm-hmm. He could be right out of an Abercrombie & Fitch catalog. He's got that kind of almost Michael Jackson touched up aquiline pixie face. is this a trend in Bollywood films? Are we moving to a kind of supranational look that's no longer deeply ethnic or you know, this is not a villager?
No, not at all. Not by any standards. I mean, basically, in India, they really revere Western culture. And Michael Jackson performed in India some years ago. And the type of euphoria that was within the country for his performance doesn't even come close to Lata Mangeshkar, who is India's Nightingale. So you take an American pop star, you put him into India, and he will evoke a certain reaction that Lata Mangeshkar, who lives in India and has been featured in the Guinness World Book of Records. She's broken all records as singing the maximum number of songs. She's
always
70
singing.
Years old, and she is absolutely, she is an idol from anyone interested in Indian music, but she will not evoke the reaction that an American pop star will.
Let's contrast a couple of movies, because I did see Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham this morning. I have to say, I felt like I'd eaten way too much sugar when it was over. I mean, the overdrive of pageantry and melodrama and music. You know, it's extremely catchy, but it's just way over the top for my palate. On the other hand, last weekend I saw Monsoon Wedding.
Right.
I absolutely adored this film. It reminded me of Fellini. It was full. It also had pageantry, but it seemed to me a much more sophisticated way. It was full of joy and very Indian, but it also captured the intersection of American and British culture with Indian culture, with people who live in Houston or Dallas and come back to Delhi or Bombay for a wedding. Tell us about that film by Meera Nair. Is this also a popular film, or is this pitched to a foreign audience? Is this the film equivalent of the wave of Indian authors we've seen almost storming, taking over Western literary circles in recent years?
It is. It's a very realistic look at life in India. It's almost a spoof on Bollywood productions.
Mm-hmm.
As you've seen the film, and for those of you who have, you'll see that she incorporates a lot of Bollywood elements with some soundtracks and things like that throughout the movie.
However, it's built around a family preparing for their daughter's wedding.
Right.
It's an arranged marriage, and lots of tensions intersect around this that sort of explode in the course of the film. In a very illuminating way, I thought about not only Indian life, but about human family existence.
Mm-hmm. It's a normal Indian family in India, and it takes place within the span of 4 days, and that is reality. She wanted to downplay the opulence that is usually depicted in Hindi cinema, so she took a very ordinary, middle-class family.
They look pretty well off to me, but I'll take your word for that.
Maybe upper middle class, I should say, but it's definitely, you know, not a patch for the mansions that are portrayed as houses in normal glitzy and glamorous.
Nupur, let's listen to a little clip from Monsoon Wedding. Here, the arranged newlyweds have a serious spat. And let's listen.
Aditi, I'm sorry I lost you out there. I didn't have any right to talk to you like that.
You had every reason to be angry.
Someone broke my heart too a few years ago. I know how hard and confusing it can be. I really appreciate your telling me about Vikram. You didn't have to, but you did. That honesty means a lot to me. Yeah, I know it's a risk, but what marriage isn't a risk? Whether our parents introduce us or whether we meet in a club, what difference does it make?
What marriage isn't a risk, from Monson Wedding. And here's the soon-to-be-wed couple working through some really serious last-minute hitches in the whole affair. And I was struck by how you see, this is I think, American-educated, a guy living in America who's come back to be wed to his arranged bride. And somehow, in the process of coming back, he also re-enters the bath of Indian culture. He gets over his shock and he takes on the role. It seemed as though his maturity, his embracing of carrying on the family line, accepting the arranged marriage, is being celebrated in this very cosmopolitan film.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that really does happen, Tom. People from India go back, and within a week, they get married to someone. You know, it's a far cry from what we see here in America, where relationships go on for 6 years and then they decide whether they want to get married. Mm. Now, in a typical Hindi film, a Bollywood production, you won't see that. You won't see the relationships, that sexual angle that is normally depicted in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You usually see, the only obstacle that people encounter in a normal Bollywood production is the parental refusal. Mm-hmm. But this kind of film shows relationships past and, you know, the histories of the individual partners.
Sure, they're not pulling any punches here. And it really, it gets rough. It gets very contemporary in a way that Americans would fully understand, but with this rich pageantry around it. Mm-hmm. Nupur Kohli, we've been hogging the microphone. We should turn to our callers because there are a lot of them who want to join us. Kevin is on the line. Welcome, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Cambridge, and I saw Monson Wedding actually last weekend.
How'd you like it, Kevin?
I loved it. I thought it was excellent. I'm actually going to be marrying an Indian woman this summer.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
I'm not Indian, in case you didn't figure
out. Okay.
But we're going to go. Anyway, so we saw the movie this past weekend with some friends, and we thought it was just excellent.
So did it make you reconsider your marriage or fall in love all over again,
Kevin?
No,
when we left, it's funny, because we've been going into this wedding with, simple syndrome, and I think that when we walked out of the theater, our feeling was, oh, what the hell, let's just go for broke.
So now you're going to build a bower of marigolds and have purple silk, miles of purple silk over the backyard?
We do want to incorporate marigolds into it. But anyway, I had a comment that I wanted to make. I thought that the movie did a very good job really depicting the importance of family and loyalty in India is. My experience with the Indians that I know is, mm-hmm. Family is very important. And I think that it's not necessarily the case in a lot of industrialized countries. And I think the movie did a good job, on the one hand, reinforcing the importance of family, duty, honor, loyalty.
Yes.
Yet allowing for, things Western.
And some pretty tough realism in there too, wasn't there, Kevin?
Yeah, and in particular, that's what I wanted to comment on is, on the one hand, there's this, there's an element of strong loyalty and family, like I've mentioned. And the issue of child sex abuse was treated in the movie, I thought, with a lot of finesse. And
incredible.
It's handled brilliantly.
It's not discussed openly in many circles for a variety of reasons.
I thought it was more effective than any handling of that issue I've ever seen in a Western film. Kevin, thank you so much for your call, and we wish you a beautiful wedding, marigolds or no. Nupur Kohli, Kevin points to something really interesting here. In the United States, presidents and moral leaders are always calling on Hollywood to reassert family values and to show leadership in building the moral fiber of the country. Here's Bollywood, extraordinarily commercial and extraordinarily successful in commercial terms. Mm-hmm. But as you pointed out earlier, it leads with family values.
Absolutely.
You've lived in the United States for a long time. You know India intimately. How does Bollywood succeed in doing that in the U.S., Hollywood can't. Is this just baked in the culture behind the industry?
It is. It's definitely because of the culture. I mean, in India, the relatives, we have such a strong support system in our parents, in our families, in our relatives. They are the fabric of society. Over here, you have single parents trying to raise a family, and it's just a totally different wavelength. Mm-hmm. And that's why Bollywood succeeds in this. And it's interesting, Tom, because the social issues that are being addressed right now in America, I mean, basically people are looking to the East. And they're actually going back to, you know, you see more single income families now. And people are getting back to the basics here.
Someone staying home.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know if they're looking to the East or the Little House on the Prairie. I'm not sure which, but they're looking somewhere. Let's take another call. Prasant is on the line. Welcome, Prasant. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you.
Hi. I wanted to say that earlier in the program, I heard that Bollywood produces the largest number of movies in the world.
Prasant, you know, I don't know if you're on a speakerphone. It's very hard to make out what you're saying.
Okay, can you hear me now?
It's a little better.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, right. Okay. Are you still there? Are we getting a tour of your house, Prasant?
No, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can, loud and clear. What's your point?
All right, I want to say that Bollywood is not exactly the largest producer of Hindi movies, or rather movies in the world. In India, you also have other centers of movie making, such as Tollywood in Calcutta, which mainly deals with Bengali movies.
Right.
And then you have a whole range of movies which are made in the south of India. Mm-hmm. And they're basically made in Madras and Hyderabad.
Prasanna, it's a rough line, so I'm going to have to let you go. But we got your point. And Nupur, you were saying before the show, you've got Kollywood out of Calcutta, Tollywood out of South India. So this is, even Bollywood, with all its size, is only a piece of the Indian film world.
It is. India is the largest, has the largest film industry in the world. We do have various dialects. Now, Hindi is the language, the major language of India, and that's why Bollywood is getting such recognition.
But of course, there are many other, given India's population, it can support an awful lot of film.
Exactly.
What's the population's over a billion now?
Oh, I know.
And of course, in diaspora, it reaches much further than that. Mm-hmm. We're talking this hour about the films and the magic, if you see it that way, of Bollywood with Nupur Kohli. Have you visited Planet Bollywood? What did you think? Or did you grow up with these movies? Tell us how you feel about their magic. What is it exactly? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
This one's for you, Raul.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking the films and the reach of Bollywood tonight. Here's in the hit Hollywood film, Moulin Rouge, Chumma Chumma, homage to Bollywood. Percoli. We rolled through a couple of films before we got to Chumma Chumma, but here it is from Moulin Rouge, and you can hear Bollywood in this very Hollywood production.
Exactly. This is Nicole Kidman on
right.
Chumma Chumma. Now, this is a hit song from a movie that didn't even do well. The song itself was a rage in India, and it's interesting that they picked this particular song, I think, for the beat and the rhythm to incorporate it into Moulin Rouge.
And there it is in Moulin Rouge in Paris. Listeners, are you ready for this? Are you ready for the inroads being made by Bollywood? Andrew Lloyd Webber is now diving into Bollywood with a new musical. How about you? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. Daniel is on the line. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Daniel.
Let me be a little controversial here.
Go for it.
I know classic Bollywood a little bit. I was in the early 70s. I had a college roommate who got me to see a couple of very gaudy extravaganzas, and I saw it as...
That's it.
Really, really terrible. I also engineered an Indian music radio program in the early 80s for MIT Radio, where the music was often sort of like this bizarre combination of Doris Day and Ravi Shankar.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
I knew it was extremely harmless and innocent and kind of fun, but as far as it becoming popular with Western tastes and in the United States, I wonder if Bollywood has gotten a lot better lately, or it's our taste that's gotten a lot gaudier and more shallow and more silly.
Well, that's one way of describing the range, and I know what you mean, Daniel, but I want to put it to Nupur Kohli. I mean, Nupur, I know exactly what Daniel is saying here. You know, when you haven't watched these films, even if you have, you come in, they are gaudy. I mean, they are the definition of gaudy.
They are.
And they're kind of, and they're so over the top. I would try to, when I watch them, suspend judgment a little bit, because I would see Indians who I knew to be really, you know, super educated, brilliant people, somehow just taking a lot away from this, and even if I couldn't see it. But what about Daniel's point? In Monsoon Wedding, we see a new face.
Right.
Are these films becoming more sophisticated? Is that what you think is making them connect with Western audiences? Or are Western audiences, Daniel suggesting, getting more lowbrow, or maybe there's another word for it, more global in a way Daniel may not go for?
Right. Well, I think it's interesting because I think technically the films are getting slicker. They are learning a lot from the West and from the technical perspective. However, Daniel, you might have been exposed to the works of Satyajit Ray back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And he basically pioneered a different genre of film. So we do have a realism in Bollywood as well, courtesy of Satyajit Ray. Now, in 1992, he was honored by the Academy with an Oscar, a Lifetime Achievement Award.
But you know he's way outside the mainstream of Bollywood.
The mainstream, right. But you do have serious filmmakers back then. You at that time, you also had this over-the-top. It was in black and white, so it seemed a little more muted, you know?
But over here,
you have socially relevant films as well. You have serious films. It's just that with so many films being produced in India, a major percentage of them are these masala films,
because
these larger-than-life films.
You've got a billion people.
That's what they want.
They're right out of that culture. That's
right.
The tradition of Indian film. Do you think that will be the part that travels most successfully internationally, or is it going to be the Monsoon Wedding kind of story, which is a lot more dressed up?
See, a Monsoon Wedding is a film that the Indian community would like. The mainstream community is enjoying it and appreciating it. For the most part, I'm going to go out on a limb and speak for the Indian community. They will enjoy it once. They'll see it. But will they return and drive up the sales for that film?
Wow.
I mean, they'll see it, but they're seeing reality.
Yeah.
And they're used to having escapism.
They don't want reality. They want surreality.
Exactly.
Like.
Exactly.
Daniel, somewhere in there's an answer, and I'm not sure what it is, but we thank you for your call. Sachin is on the line. Welcome, Sachin. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you.
Hi, I think I'm making a similar comment here that most of the talk has been based on the lavish sets and those kind of movies, like Bollywood. But there are a lot of other movies that are being made, and I'll mention some of the names like Satya, Bhavandar, Earth and Fire, and Lagan is one amongst them, which are like kind of different. They're trying out new things.
So you're saying less lavish, more realistic maybe?
Yeah, they're more realistic. Talk about, there are songs and dances there, but they are introducing a lot of new things and talking about a lot of contemporary things. And so I hope that with this Bollywood kind of and the lavish sets, maybe the Western audience get more curious and they start try to experiment, and they try to see more of the other kind of movies.
Sachin, thanks so much for sharing that. You know, Nupur, it strikes me that both in India and in the rest of the world, there's highbrow, middlebrow, and lowbrow culture.
Right.
Plenty of lowbrow culture in the United States. It will be fascinating to see if these cultures meet at all of those levels,
and I think
not
they
just
will.
The high.
No, I appreciate Sachin's call because I think that it is just so true. And the Indian filmmakers are going out on a limb. They are experimenting, but that's what it is. It's an experiment. They don't know if the box office is ready for it.
Well,
so with each success, they're gaining confidence, right, and hopefully we'll see more of
the market.
Series.
The market will drive. And as they said,
exactly.
Right in Monsoon Wedding, they had the actors talking about the success of young Indian writers.
Mm-hmm.
$1 million advance.
Right,
so they
right.
know that this culture can travel one way and another. Mm-hmm. Prakash is on the line. Welcome, Prakash. You're on the air.
Hi. Tom, thanks for taking my call.
It's good to have you.
Well, we hate them, we love them, we still see them. That's what the reality is. My comment was slightly different. I think the base of the popular Bollywood movies is music. And if you take the music out, I think even the regular Indian won't turn up and see even those lavishly dressed sets and things like that. There is a trend of making independent music nowadays quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, could your guest comment on the fact that how will it impact the mainline cinema?
How will, Prakash, how will what impact? The pop music and the...
Right. If the music start becoming independent, they don't need the cinema to reach to the audience.
All right. So we got it, Prakash. So do the music and the film kind of break off from one another?
Okay, music is very integral. However, the music being popular, now there is this emergence of music videos being shot. So it's not necessary that people have to go to the cinema to see picturizations.
Mm-hmm.
However, the picturizations that you see in films, the way they incorporate it into the storyline is very different from a MTV type of music video, which they're actually trying to do with the pop music and private label music.
But the narrative line is still what Bollywood goes for.
It is.
Nupur Kohli, our time is winding down. Talk to me for just, if I liked Monsoon Wedding, what else will I like?
Mississippi Masala.
Well, of course, that's... Yeah,
older
okay.
film.
Right.
There are so many.
What should I
actually,
see next? If I loved Monsoon Wedding, what
you
should
know
I see next?
I would recommend, and this is a Bollywood production, but it's a 1993 release. It's called Bombay.
Bombay.
Yes.
All right. It's on my must-see list. If it's anywhere in the neck of the woods of Monsoon Wedding, then I'm a
excellent.
Fan.
Excellent. And they've taken a very, a very delicate topic, and I've handled it very delicately. It's finesse.
Nupur Kohli, it's been great to have you tonight. Nupur Kohli is host of Jhankar, a radio program focused entirely on Bollywood. It's great to have you with us, and thanks for the
tour
of Bollywood. We're going to go out with, you call it, Nupur.
Which one? Kahan Pyar Hai. It is the hit song and the title track from Kahan Pyar Hai, the film that discovered the new sensation Hrithik Roshan.
Bollywood has an audience of more than 1 billion people, and while the songs and dances make people come back for more, Bollywood films also have emotional resonance with moviegoers. Meghna Chakrabarty is a producer here at On Point. Her parents emigrated from India 30 years ago. While she grew up watching Hindi movies with her family, Meghna says that it's only now, through an adult's eyes, that she understands the deep chords that Bollywood touches in South Asians everywhere.
My father's not a typical Bollywood fan. He's a lifelong scientist who lives and dies by the sword of rationality. And yet he watches Bollywood movies with the same rapt attention I thought he only gives to solving the mysteries of nature. It's weird. He's even got a favorite Bollywood heroine, Miss Aishwarya Rai, a woman, he proudly tells me, who has more websites dedicated to her than Madonna. There's an inevitable clash of cultures that happens between immigrants and their Western children. Ours happened last time I visited India with my parents. I was flipping through the satellite channels looking for some English language television. I skimmed over MTV India. Their playlist is exclusively limited to musical cuts from Bollywood movies. And my dad reached over, grabbed the remote from my hands and cranks up the volume, telling everyone in the house, "Shh, shh, it's Aishwarya Rai." Strange, I thought to myself. Coming back to the mother country after several decades away, and my dad's gone completely crazy. Dad, can't you live without Bollywood for just 1 minute? I groaned. I mean, it's all the same. It's not like you're gonna miss anything. My dad, the rational scientist, quietly handed back the remote control. Later on, we were sent out to buy some rice for my aunt. It was hot and humid, and the air was heavy with the scent of sweat, engine exhaust, jasmine, and spice. On our way to the market, I saw an elephant carrying its mahout, followed by a Rolls Royce carrying its sunglasses-wearing owner. They brushed right by us, slowly making their way down the crowded street where thousands of people, rickshaws, vendors, mopeds, and animals all shared the same space. The errand must have stirred his deepest memories, because as we walked, my dad told me that once, when he was just a kid in West Bengal, he hid behind the kitchen curtain and listened to his father count cups of rice, only to find out that they didn't have enough rice to feed the family. My dad remembers hearing his father tell his wife that the family was probably going to go hungry the next week. That's why, my dad tells me as we paid for the 20-pound bag of basmati, I think I'm still so afraid of privation. I'm beginning to see it a bit differently. I can see my dad's toes sticking out from beneath the curtain. I can hear the falling grains of rice. I can understand what an indelible imprint that had on his life, and how the desire to overcome adversity motivates everything that he does. I finally get how Bollywood perfectly translates this desire to celluloid. Bollywood is everything that real life in India is not. Bollywood is not dirty. Bollywood is not hopeless. Bollywood is not ironic. Irony is a luxury afforded only to those who have the means to escape from it. Bollywood delivers a mass cultural catharsis, an escape from a life that is inescapably cruel. Bollywood doesn't give its fans an impossible melodramatic dream. Bollywood reminds them that it's possible to dream at all. It's difficult for Western critics to understand this, for in the West, to dream is a birthright. Bollywood films are all identical, and for good reason. When you take out the song and dance, at the heart of every Bollywood movie, you've got a melodrama where love, triumphant or tragic, conquers all. Adversity is overcome. It's not an unfamiliar plot device. Shakespeare used it in Romeo and Juliet. So perhaps Bollywood isn't as unsophisticated as the West thinks. Perhaps the West has an unsophisticated understanding of the realities of life in India. A reality where it's almost impossible to escape from the desperate surge of human suffering. I try not to laugh so much at Bollywood anymore. Of course it's over the top. Of course it's melodramatic. Of course it's repetitive. And of course love conquers all. The fact is, in real life, it doesn't. Bollywood knows this. Bollywood ignores the facts. And that's why Bollywood works.
Meghna Chakrabarty, our favorite Indian-American, lives in Brookline, Massachusetts. You can learn more about Bollywood movies at our website. The address is onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. You're listening to On Point.